Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and it's time to rise and grind and get this garlic bread. And with me, I have...
Happy Halloween, everyone, and fucking vote on Tuesday!
And...
So many Wii movies, at least live-action Wii movies, coming out. Holy shit, we got... Let's love a lot of weave shit, because there's a now is American Ninja movie coming from them, and now we just heard that there's, well, due to the It movie, well, you know, last year's It movie, now that type of tight live action shit, like, I wonder what piece of news that is next.
It's always the big titles, never the small ones. That should be easier to make. No. I always gotta go for the big ones that's gonna cost hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yep.
Well, I mean, to be fair, what are the odds that Hulu is gonna invest in, like, an adaptation of Banana Fish? Really? Nothing? No responses? Y'all ain't gonna crack wise?
I got nothing. All I can say is, if they really invest in something like, if they want to invest in an avatar that's, you know, small and don't cost a lot of shit, hey! Do Black Lagoon, but get somebody good on it. Like, that should, like that should, that spells, hey, this is a live action movie. This feels like an action movie.
I can picture it now. Black Lagoon, executive produced by Robert Rodriguez on El Rey Network. That should be a freaking easy home run, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, at that point, you're basically just making a John Woo movie. And, you know, if they did that, they'd probably get John Woo as well. You think Rodriguez has his number?
I'm sure he does.
Indeed. Anyway, episode 104. Wow, that's a lot of episodes. So, how's everything been going with all y'all lately?
Well, if you can tell by the sound of my voice, I've had a rough week. I got really sick with a bad cold, and I've just been trying to work it off and walk it off with various concoctions of cold medicine and pills and nebulizer inhalants, and it's slowly been working, but my voice is kind of shot in a lot of pieces, but I'm trying to get back up there. And let's see, have I been doing anything else of lately? No, not really. I've just either been in bed, you know, coughing up a lung, or I've been working, which... That's always fun, working 9 to 10 hour days because your employees are slow as shit.
They never have your back, do they?
No, they never have my back.
They don't fuck with you.
Oh no, they do. They like to fuck with me because, I'm just gonna cap this off here with, the world is kind of fucked right now. So fucking vote on Tuesday to try and make it a little bit better.
Everything is so fucked, it's affecting Alex's health. That's why he's sick, because everything is fucked up.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Let's see, the usual work, do some more writing, as usual, and, at least the shit that I can tell you. You know, on recording, because, yeah.
Oh, so you're hiding stuff from us. I'll find out. I have my ways. Hang on, let me just reprogram the security cameras here. Mac, what? Kitchen, transfer to bedroom, and there we go. You didn't hear any of that. Anyway, as for me, well... A lot of the same old, same old. Been finally getting into some nice grooves of, doing spooktastic Twitch streaming. You know, cleared through Silent Hill, finally. Including one day where I actually streamed with Tyler, who was being very unhelpful. He was playing Red Dead Redemption 2 in the background. Like, I'm trying to play, you know, a serious horror game, and here he is looking at horse balls.
Did he get that install after... It took him like a week to get that installed or something.
Maybe, I'm not sure. Anyway, aside from that, also got paid, and since I had a little bit of extra money to spare, I decided to go ahead and splurge on some good old or OG DS classics. That being games 2 and 3 of the Professor Layton series, because I still only had the first one, and I'm trying to, you know, clear through these things. There are some tough-ass riddles in these games, I tell you what. You know, how was I supposed to know, like, the stained glass pattern that was supposed to equal Professor Layton's hat? Those things look so specific, and I just expect to get outlined. It's like... Anyway. Anything else? No, I believe that's basically about it. Whole bunch of gaming, whole bunch of streaming, and just whole bunch of chilling out and what's not. So, now is the part where we move on to the meat of this podcast now that the formalities are over. For you see, this is again one of those rare weeks where we get a big ol' giant ass song buffet. It's just all songs, all we're talking about here, because most of the actual news stuff is kind of weak, unless you want to hear us talk about a London music festival being Puritan as fuck. But, you know, we already got enough salt we're saving for, well, you'll see next week. So, yeah, time for the new song discussions. Of course, as always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, listen to these songs, and, you know, comment on our takes of these songs with your own takes. And to start off, let's just rip this band-aid off right now. Just rip. It doesn't matter how fast or slow, it's still gonna hurt, but you gotta do it. So we're about a couple weeks away from that fucking Grinch movie. Illumination, you are my enemy in life. It's making us into Grinches, but it's not going to make us watch the freaking movie. And neither is the theme, the new rendition of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. And since you'll remember, this is the same company that hired Pharrell to do the music for Despicable Me. Of course, they have to pick another contemporaneous urban artist just to be hip with the kids and all that. And this time, it's Tyler, the Creator. Oh, why? Why?
Tyler, why?
Like, I would expect this from our Tyler, but from you, Tyler, you're better than this. Yeah, his version of the song, you know, it's about what you would expect, where it sounds more like, you know, it's super neutered and watered down, and, you know, all I can think of is that in an alternate universe, we probably got a really cool horrorcore version of this that sounded like older Tyler. But this sounds like a bullshit version of newer Tyler. Shit, even he himself sounds like he wanted to bail on this as quickly as possible. Like, he only did this because the check, she was fat. I don't know why this movie exists.
You know, like, I grew up, like many others did, on the 1966 How the Grinch Stole Christmas special from Chuck Jones. That's all we ever needed. We didn't need the Jim Carrey movie. We don't need the Benedict Cumberbatch movie, like, just, why? Why do we need these things?
Yeah, I listen to this, like, I mean, it sounds so, I don't, it's like, at first I wanted to give it a chance, it's like, it just feels kind of weird, kind of. See, I'm so unsure about this song, I'm trying to find out what to say about it.
I'm guessing the only thing we can really say is that I guess those Golf Wang clothing sales must not be paying the bills. But anyway, let's clean the plate here. Let's move on to something that at least is more dignified. Mark, you got anything to help us out here?
Yes, I do. Oh, hey, a new joint from Rap City. You remember her, right? Like, you remember her album, Layla's Wisdom, got 94 Grammy last year, which we'll deserve because it was a good damn album. And now she will, with a squad, she's trying to pronounce the name, but Jamila will collaborate with her producer, Knife Wonder, got their collaboration album, Jamila is the Squad 2, coming out this November. November 9th, to be exact. And they got a new joint called Sojourner. You know, name after 90th century Abbot Sojourner Truth? if y'all, you know, if y'all, you know, got your two shit down, right? But yeah, it's one featuring her and Mr. Popper, no features himself, J. Cole, who's a feature.
That is ironic.
Yeah, I will say this is definitely a banging joint, and I'll say that J. Cole is okay on the verse. Like, I still think he's not a bad rapper. He's not one I call the strongest of rappers. It's like he was just good. Rap City definitely stepped on here. Like, there's one part where the beat stops, she just keep on flowing and flowing, and it works so well with her. A lot of folks see why people are definitely starting to notice her a lot, and that's a good thing because she's definitely a strong rapper.
And how about that J. Cole?
That's all I got.
That sounds about right. But yeah, you know, I enjoyed it. Don't really know much about Rhapsody firsthand, but you know, she seems cool. She's a good singer. I like her voice. J. Cole, just do some anything that gets you amped up or something, or gives you more personality. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but he's as bland as almond milk. See how I turned that around?
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true about him. Like, you know, I know that, but damn, man. But like I said, this song does slap. Rap City slaps. J. Cole gets a pat on the back, I guess.
But anyway, let's move on from that to our dear old friend, Mr. Damon Albarn, who had a new Gorillaz album out last year, a new Gorillaz album out this year, and is still on the grind for putting out new music. Looks like his next big project, coming out November 16th, is actually a new album from his project The Good, The Bad, and The Queen. It's in their second album. I think their first was actually like 15 years ago. Maybe, I think. It was a long-ass time ago, basically. But yeah, they're finally coming out with their sophomore album, Maryland, on November 16th. And here we have the title track, which, you know, it sounds about what I was expecting. There's this kind of drifting, synthetic melody combined with, like, you know, the guitars and stuff that's very quaint and numbing, emphasized by its kind of slow-moving sort of 6-4 rhythm. There's a lot of breathing room, like, in the synths and guitars, just to kind of let it, like, you know, echo out in reverb. Lots of breathing room for the melodies to all kind of drift on. There's this kind of weird, like, almost kind of carnival dreamlike aesthetic, especially when you consider, like, the lyrics doubly so with the video, which is just a puppet, like, speaking the lyrics at you with, like, all kinds of weird old stock footage in the background. It's all right, I suppose. Kind of like it more than anything that came out on the last Gorillaz album, to be honest.
Yeah, I gave this a listen, and, you know, I don't know what it is, but it just didn't click with me. It just, you know, it's all right, but I don't really feel anything toward it personally, so,
Well, maybe it's time to move on from that to something that's a little more aesthetic. Yes, because, as it turns out, Damon Albarn isn't the only one putting out multiple albums. He's not the only one putting out multiple things this year. So yeah, once again, Mr. 10 Tricks Point Never, who had his most recent full-length album, you know, Age Of, in June, then put out the EP, I believe it was called The Station, August? Yes. September? Was it August?
I think it was July.
July, right. And now he's got another EP coming out, this one coming out November 23rd, with the ever so 10 Tricks-esque title of Love in the Time of Lexapro. You know, I wonder if it says something about me that I know Lexapro is a thing, but I don't know what it is exactly, what it's supposed to treat. I gotta look that up later. But yeah, so, new EP, November 23rd, and we have the title track from this, which is, there's definitely more of a, I guess it's not as much of a, this weird, choppy, unsettling tone as, like, you know, the Age Of or shit, even the Garden of Delete kind of stuff. There's this lush synth buildup in the beginning that goes on for like 40 seconds, and then the song just cuts out, leaves a big break for like a lot of reverb-heavy percussion, these droning synths in the mix, and then they all just kind of like more synths are piled on. It all like, you know, layers and like builds on top of each other. It comes over you in waves, quite literally like the ocean, especially with some of those more traditional OPN synths. Because like the actual single, like I don't know if this is the EP artwork, but like the artwork for this song at least that I saw on YouTube uses like the dolphins. You know, because it kind of sounds like some echo kind of shit. So, like, you can tell the aesthetic is back. But, yeah, I'm digging this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good track. Like, I will say, it has definitely got some waves to it. And the sound of me a lot like the opening start of a video game where also you hear this, where very, very ambient type of shit that OPN is known for. Although, when I say it's cool, maybe a little closer to who is Chuck Pierce's persona, maybe a little bit, but not quite. I mean, it ain't vaporwave-ish, or at least a little bit vaporwave-ish, but this is some, you know, some good shit I'm hearing over here.
Give us Echo Jams Volume 2, you coward.
I just want to jump in and say, this is some pretty nice atmospheric electronic. It's the kind of track that's perfect to listen to in the dark with a good set of headphones on.
Indeed. And it's certainly a really worthwhile alternative to those lo-fi hip-hop chill whatever beats that you're always studying to for some reason. 24/7. But now let's move on to something that's just plain weird. So apparently I completely forgot about this when we were going over the Record Store Day Black Friday releases, but apparently one of the more notable ones coming out that, you know, day is a new EP from Capital Punishment, which is the, you know, punk band, the avant-garde punk band that was founded by and features the star of Zoolander 2, Ben Stiller.
What?
Seriously. When was the last time Ben Stiller was ever in a good or even just an okay-ish movie? You remember? I can't remember.
Tropic Thunder.
Wow, and that was like 10 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
Damn, it was 10 years ago. Shit.
Oh, shit. I feel old. But yeah, it looks like the boys are back in town, as Thin Lizzy and Drill would put it. And, you know, they put together a new EP of some new original material. And they even, to promote the EP, released a, well, quasi-newish song. It's actually an enhanced remake, if you will, of the track Confusion from their original full length, you know, before anyone gave a shit about Ben Stiller. And yeah, this definitely sounds like, you know, they say avant-garde punk, but this feels more like Steppenwolf mixed with, like, Iron Butterfly. Just, like, you kind of feel like that old, like, driving rock tendency, but at the same time, there's a lot of this thing is processed to hell. There's so many, like, you know, guitar effects, filters, like, flangers, the wahs, all that stuff. The kind of barren drum rhythm that sounds like it could be natural, but at the same time also kind of sounds like something you'd hear in, like, an old Prodigy jam. There's this weird, like, a tendency where the vocals are kind of all over the place, and, you know, to be fair, I don't know if it's Ben Stiller himself singing on this, but it's like, it's super, again, coded in the same kinds of guitar effects and whatnot, as he's wavering between, like, just spoken word and just kind of screaming at you and all that. It's a weird song. I'm not even really sure if I like it, but I'm kind of bizarrely fascinated by this. I'll just leave it at that. It's bizarrely fascinating.
Like, okay, Ben Stiller plays drums in a noise punk band. Why has this not been made more widespread? People need to know this.
Well, to be fair, I think this has been, like, a thing for, like, the super in-the-know, like, Pitchforkian crowd. But, like, I'm guessing, like, since he's been so busy making, you know, mediocre comedy sequels, I remember Little Fockers.
Oh.
No one really gave a shit because we were too busy, you know, beating him up for his bad career choices.
Oh. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about Pitchfork some other time, but as for this, the song is all right. It's good for what it is, but I can't really say much more about it. It's just, okay, that's fine.
Well, with that little bit of weirdness out of the way, time to jump into the usual business of talking about not one, but two entries from the Adult Swim Singles Program. Yes, so the first one of these, I don't believe this was in the original announcement, but this is from an artist named Hatchie. None of the three of us have any idea who she is, although I will give her props because her Twitter at handle is Hi Hatchie. Get it? Get it? Hi Hatchie.
Hi Hatchie.
You know, like the guy from Tekken.
I don't. Okay. Okay, to make more sense.
I thought it was funny. But yeah, anyway, so we have this new single from her called Adored. So, you know, first impressions, it's all right. It sounds like you're pretty straightforward, kind of that really synthetic, lush, pretty kind of indie rock jam. Melodies are nice. Her singing is pretty good. And it's got a, you know, good soothing vibe to it. It's all right, I suppose.
Yeah. I enjoy this track. Like the production is pretty, her voice is pretty, everything about it was pretty, and I listen to this.
Okay, why does the start of the song and the overall beat remind me of the days of late 90s trip hop? Y'all remember that whole thing?
Somewhat, yeah.
Vaguely,
you know, like Alanis Morissette.
I wouldn't know. I don't listen to much Alanis Morissette. No.
Okay.
The one trip hop band I remember was Matt. The one trip hop band I remember was Massive Attack. That's about it.
But anyway, let's move on from that to the second single that we have here. And this is another case of the Adult Swim single being a single for an album that released the week before. So. Yeah, we're kind of jumping. I don't know if this is jumping the gun on this one, because I am going to bring this album up on the album roundup, because I actually did take a listen to it because I heard so much hype about this and I just kind of had to. But yeah, the other Adult Swim single here comes from pop singer Robin off of her latest album Honey, and it's the track Human Being, which features I don't know if this is producer or the other singer on the song Zala. I'm probably pronouncing that horribly. But yeah, so this song, you know, it's got kind of this steady, thumping, percussive beat. These kind of minor echoing bleeps and blips in there, kind of like a very, you know, it's got like a sort of dancing beat to it while also being kind of a stripped down in a sense, at least in the verses. There's still plenty of synth work to be had, especially when it gets into like those hooks and the choruses, you know, really catchy rhythms, the, you know, melodies and stuff are satisfying. Robin is a pretty good vocalist all told, and you know, this is honestly like at least for me the best kind of like just a straightforward you know kind of pop music. You know, it's really catchy and just the performances are really good. I'm digging this. I'm guessing I'm the only one that had anything to say on this.
I mean, yeah. I ain't got much to say except I can dig it. It's all right. Like, I can listen to the track. It's pretty good. That's it. I ain't got much to say on that.
I will say right now, the album does have better songs. Trust me on this. But yeah, now it's time to move on from that to more other Adult Swim alumnus. Mr. IDK, back at it again with another Lucy. This time featuring that guy, Maxo Cream. Which, I don't know why that guy's name pisses me off so much, but it does.
Okay. I mean, I'm
I don't know. There's just something about seeing the name Maxo Cream that annoys me.
Because it reminds you of Oreo, Oreos or something. I don't know.
Oh, don't make me think about that.
But yeah, remember that dude had an album out like this year, like at least January. I think that was the same guy. Yeah. So he might have another one-off track, or at least I think he's got a project coming up called IDK and Friends. According to his Twitter, which I'm guessing this is one of the friends he has.
Oh man, and I was hoping for a Denzel Curry collab.
He might be on there. He might, I hope. But yeah, like, yeah, you know, like if you hear Heidi Cage, like, it's, you know, it's pretty, you know, especially for a banger. I mean, from this, like, it's, you know, IDK does what he always does. Like, he always spits that shit. And Maxo Cream, like, he does all right, too. He does all right, too. Like, I ain't heard much of his work. Well, I did listen to that one album he did this year. It was all right. Like, but yeah, once again, like, I said before, but, like, the joint is pretty, it's pretty, like, a stand IDK stuff. He's still bringing it, which I kind of hope he has an album out coming out next year, which I hope, because, like, as much as I like these one-off singles, I kind of want an album now.
Don't we all? Although I think he was busy, you know, doing season one of I Was Very Bad, you know, the visual adaptation of his album, so that's probably taking some time.
I need to get on that shit. I need to get on that shit. Like, I could get on, like, on YouTube or something, like after this. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I haven't had the time yet. But yeah, you know, Maxo Cream, he's kind of lame here. I couldn't tell you a single memorable line he has. Meanwhile, he's getting showed up by IDK, who's spitting out bars like Pussy Pink and In Fat She Look Like Majin Buu, which, okay, that's a nasty image. Why did you have to put that image in my head, man? I don't want to think about that. Especially if it's handsome Majin Buu. She says she wanted to fuck me because she liked my PG grammar, whatever that means. And, of course, the obligatory, my dick like a ruler, teach a lesson, take your ass to school. You know, all being rapped at you through his weird... What do they call those things on the Apple phones? You know, like the moving face?
The Animoji.
That's what it is. Yeah, apparently they had custom-made Animojis for these videos.
Yeah, because... Because you see, like, the video, it's the thing where, it's like, you see IDK, he got the, you know, the blonde hair, and Maxo Cream got the, I think he was bald, he got a big beard.
Yeah, he was bald, and he had the beard that, like, splits out into, like, two spikes off in, like, opposite directions.
Yeah, that.
That, indeed. But yeah, where's the next album? Anyway, moving on from that to, oh, hey, AFI, good to see you again.
I mean, that 2017 album was, I'm going to be honest, before now, I forgot that album even existed.
Wait, that was 2017?
Apparently so.
Jesus, I thought it was like 2 years ago. But yeah, it looks like these guys are setting up to release a new EP called The Missing Man, possibly on December 7th. The Stereo Gum piece here expresses some skepticism towards that, but that seems to be where it's headed. And, of course, we have the song from here called Get Dark, and it sounds like an AFI song, all right. I mean, I guess it technically has more of a pulse than usual, because it's trying to be a little bit more upbeat, I guess, but... Personally, I'm just going to wait for a new song from that extremist side project that they have going on. At this point, mainline AFI is just a string of perpetual disappointments. Kind of like Final Fantasy, except the boys are nowhere near as handsome.
Yeah. Certainly a song, but I don't feel much for it.
But now to move on to something that can at least provoke some kind of a reaction, we get another single from that upcoming Soilwork album, Verlaitin, coming out January 11th of next year. This one being called Full Moon Shoals, and admittingly, it's a decent song and all, but I'm not really feeling it the way I was kind of feeling the first one. You know, it opens with that, clean lead guitar intro hovering over some late keyboards, and then the full band hits in hard with, like, a steady mid-tempo groove and everything. And yet, you know, the mixing is such that you can still hear the keyboards if you're really, like, looking out for them. And the verses are kind of sort of like, you know, the clean guitar still, the muted drum rolls. And, you know, I'll give it this. As always, the vocal melodies from Mr. Bjorn Strid are always on point. But admittingly, the music itself feels like... Okay, he's singing like he's going for super grandiose, but the music kind of feels like it's not... matching that level of grandiosity, so to speak. Although, to be fair, there is a point in the back half of the song where there's kind of a thrashier segment. You know, it gives it some much-needed energy, and, you know, there's shredding solos and blast beats and all that. Although, I kind of feel like the guitar riff is kind of a bit too loose and swinging, you know, compared to the fact that the drums are literally pounding blast beats.
I'll be more complimentary and say this feels much more melodic, and that's more my style, so I can really get behind this track. I really love that double time switch up midway through the song. It's excellently executed. And, you know, this could be one of the biggest albums of 2019, even as one of the first of 2019. But listening to this, I can't help but wonder if Dirk Verbeeren regrets leaving Soilwork for Megadeth. I mean, Megadeth.
Oh, yeah, there's that whole thing.
Dystopia but sucked.
It sucked very bad, and I'm sure the next Megadeth album will suck too. But at least we'll have this to listen to. And yeah, it's definitely got to be big. Soilwork definitely always brings the hype. But moving on from that to a band that I believe was mentioned in passing an episode or two ago, and now they conveniently come up here, Cake.
You're yes, welcome.
Apparently they've been they've been teasing out some new material, including the possibility of a new album coming out sometime in 2019, maybe. We're not entirely sure yet. But we've gotten the first new song that they've put out in just about 7 years, maybe even a bit more. And it's appropriately called Sinking Ship because, I mean, come on, I'm gesturing vaguely at everything right now. What better metaphor is there? And yeah, this song is kind of a... Well, I get the feeling it's trying to sort of invoke kind of Western-ish vibes. It's got, like, this sort of desert-ish shuffling, like, triplet beat. The guitars being all super twangy, that grooving pseudo-triplet bass line. And, of course, because it's Cake, there's got to be weirdness in the form of the quirky, you know, carnival synthesizers. And the horns! There's horns in this song! Listen to the horns!
Yeah, this is definitely Cake, all right, and it does harken back to the days of late 90s alternative rock, and given the state of rock radio, it is very much well-welcomed. Forget all that, you know, trap rock influence. Give me songs about girls in, how does it go? I want a girl in a tight skirt and a long jacket.
Oh, well, okay then.
That's also Cake, you know. It's a great song.
I'm aware of that, but, you know, they really drag out that long. See, the joke is that the word is long and, you already know. But, yeah, you know, we'll keep an eye out on where this goes, naturally. But now to move on from that to something that is significantly less weird and significantly less interesting, Cardi B! Who dropped another Lucy track here recently called Money. Which, you know, Money, her big single had the lyric Making Money Moves. I'm beginning to suspect she might have a one-track mind. Possibly. Maybe. And, you know, first thing I gotta say, is she trying to, like, go for the humble beat? Because, like, the bulk of this is the trap drums and then this, like, heavy smacks of the piano keys, but it's literally just like two chords. It's jumping back and forth, but there's something about like the chord progression and the like specific melodic progression between the two where it kind of sounds like if you took Humble and just chopped out like every other, like, you know, note save for like two. I don't know, that's just kind of what's jumping in my mind at the moment. And, you know, I gotta focus on that because it's not like the lyrics are giving me much to work with. You know, she's got bling, sex appeal, the bitches need to not, you know, try her and test her patience or some shit. She likes, you know, checks and morning sex and, you know, flaunting that MILF appeal or whatever. Whatever, man. This is just like, this is why. Like, why? I'm just sitting here asking why.
I'm gonna go with a big fat. This song is just, I mean, it's another Cardi B single that I don't know. I got a feeling that's gonna be that might I don't know, be big or something, like most like every other single album has been popping lately. Like, all the things she get like this year, especially recently with her Tiffany Minaj recently, like her lyrics, like it's like she Like, I don't know if it was towards her or somebody else, when she said, "Feels like a honey bun, feels like a Tommy gun, roll you on 101, come on, get your money, son, call you as a dead top bitch, kiss the ring and rock, kick rock, sis." I guess it was towards, I don't know if it was towards hers or not. I mean, to be fair, Cardi B is average, but as you know, both are average, just that one king with the muscle, one could have that's much worse, and that's from the so-called queen. But yeah, this one just I can listen to it once and have no need to go back to it again.
Yep, this is basically the type of thing that we're only really putting in here to ride the algorithms and search engines. Give us that sweet, sweet clout. Anyway, let's move on to a name that I haven't heard in quite some time. You could say 7 years ago. Back during that weird moment when EDM-infused pop jams were taking over the radio waves. Sometimes they were in your face, sometimes they were more subtle. This is one of the more subtle ones, Miss Ellie Goulding, who, if you'll remember, she's the one that did Lights, and apparently not the one who did Summertime Sadness. For some reason, I honestly thought that was where I knew her from. And yet, I still don't know who did Summertime Sadness.
That was but not that's a here nor there.
Okay then. But yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't know why.
Anyway, Miss Ellie Goulding, she actually put out a new song recently. I'm not sure how long it's been since her last major bout of activity or new material. But, you know, we have this little goodie here called Close to Me, which is produced by Diplo and features Swae Lee. Hey. I mean, I'll give her this. At least Ellie Goulding is good on this. So, you know, at least she gets to maintain her dignity.
All I can say is, wow, Swae Lee really must want to, you know, ask that, try to get his pop cred, because he's been appearing on this and that last thing he did with Post Malone for that Spider-Man movie.
Oh.
It's like, I mean... It's like, okay, Goulding's good, and Production is all right. Like, I mean, I don't expect much from Diplo, to be honest. It's like your basic poppy EDM type of shit, and man, that's all I got. It's all right. Like, I kind of forgot Swae Lee was in there, to be honest.
Well, you know, I'm guessing Swae Lee, you know, he's trying to fill in. Like, I'm guessing he's becoming the guy, the next go-to rapper to appear with in, like, a bunch of pop tunes or whatnot. Like, you know, back in the mid-2000s, that was Lil Wayne. Then we had Pitbull. Then I forget who it was after that.
Kendrick.
Then it was Kendrick. Well, I mean, to be fair, Kendrick is kind of still on that kick, but either way. Then we had friggin' Quavo or the rest of Migos, and now it's Swae Lee.
Yeah. Oh. I think it's just Quavo also, that does the pop shit.
Well, you know, yeah, Quavo, but it varies. It's either Quavo or he brings the rest of them with him is the point. And yeah, I do got to call out one last thing, though. I'm pretty sure at one point in this song, she does the Adam Levine thing of animals, moles, which... No. No. No illegal thing.
You know, bad. Honestly, the last time I really heard anything from Ellie Goulding that, you know, caught my attention, it was the track Summit off of Skrillex's Bangarang EP 7 years ago.
Yeah, same year she came out with Lights, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But now, let's move on to the PA's de resistance of this week.
Yes.
The final song here, and, oh, hang on, I gotta go to Twitter real quick for something. Okay, tweet here we go. Hey, you all should listen to Daft Punk's Get Lucky Song of the Summer. Send tweet. There we go. Easiest 2000 retweets I ever made. By the way, all of you tweeters who think you're original when you're doing that at this point, you're fucking not, and I see you. But yeah, it's been a while since we've had, you know, a good dose of proper new material from either of the guys in Daft Punk. You know, they've obviously been keeping busy with other stuff, I guess. But now we finally have, you know, a pulse of activity from one of the members, at least, Mr. Thomas Bangalter, which is probably the most erotic name held by anyone who doesn't work in the porn industry. Get it? Bang Alter. But anyway, yes, someone managed to get a hold of a very lengthy track he's been working on, or I guess, you know, worked on recently. I don't know the full history of this, but yeah, we got a new track from him called Riga, parentheses, take 5, which I'm guessing there must have been like 4 other takes or so before this one came out, or... But yeah, and this one is a whopping 14 minutes, so... If anything, probably at least 1/4 of the length of this episode. About a fourth and a fifth, let's say. So, yeah, it's kind of just this very kind of repetitive sort of thing. Like, this is very clearly something you're supposed to, like, I guess, dance in a club. Like, you know, a sort of looping dance beat or just kind of vibe out to. There's this steady, like, building of these syncopated computerized bleeps and blips. Sometimes there's kind of these crescendos in the mix here. There's these, there's a point, like, at around, like, 3 minutes in where, the beat mixes up a bit by using the same kind of, like, you know, the snare claps that you hear in, like, a footwork jam, and, you know, it's just kind of still repeating on that over and over again, and then, you know, right about, 5 minutes in, there's kind of a mild switch up to the sort of glitchy melody where it kind of sucks out some of the bassier elements in the mix, you know, just so that actual melody, like, punctuates a little bit more, and it feels like there's more, like, empty space beneath it and the drum beat. There kind of seems to be a point at the 8-minute mark where, like, the fading, like, the fader, you know, cranks up as it moves a little bit more, gets a little bit more muffled into sort of more bouncy techno sort of territory. And, you know, this whole rhythm as a whole, the more it goes on, the more you realize it almost kind of sounds like a stripped-down version of their theme for Tron Legacy. You know what I mean? You know the one?
Yeah, you know, kind of. I do. Yeah, I do kind of recognize the little something you will hear on Tron Legacy. But yeah, I will say, let's just say, like, for the whole 14 minute length of this song, it's like, you know, first minute, okay, this is kind of repetitive. Second minute, okay, it's building up. Third, okay, fourth, all right. Okay, fifth, sixth, seventh, it's, you know, it's, you get the point, is like, it should, like, shit does happen. The pulse of beat does kind of get monotonous for a while. It's kind of like, I kind of want something to happen. Well, and it does, you know, it does move on that. Like, it is kind of fascinating, like, you know, hearing something from, at least from this other guy from Daft Punk, since I've been hearing about the other guy whose name escapes me. I know it's Guy something, which last name I cannot pronounce, but yeah.
Yeah, it's something very French.
Yeah, something French. Yeah, this is a very interesting track here from the other half of Daft Punk. I heard it from, like, he was going for some Latvian film. I can't say the name of the country because I fucking... Yeah,
Latvian.
Something called Riga Take One. Latvian, yeah. Yeah, something called Riga Take One, which, hey, I guess, hey, there's the first one.
Yeah, well, yes. Like, the other, yes, there is.
Yeah, one of the other three are in between or some shit. I don't know.
Okay, I can tell you the name of the other guy in Daft Punk. His name is Guy Manuel de Homem Cristo.
Yep. Yeah. Very French.
Yeah. His name is actually Guillaume Emmanuel, but whatever. As for the song... This is definitely the kind of track that is variations on a motif. A bit expected for this kind of electronic music, but I'll admit, this just drones on way too long for me. It's 14 minutes of variations of the same, you know, couple of bars, you know, over and over again in a looping pattern, and it just didn't really do everything for me. Good experimentation. Apparently it was all done in one take, but I'll have to pass on it.
Well, I mean, that is why they call it take 5. I'm guessing it took that long to get it just the way he wanted it. And to be fair, I wouldn't be surprised if this was, like, again, some sort of, like, you know, club dance type of track, you know, specifically in that context where the looping repetition would play to its favor. But we don't really know that for now. That's just an educated guess. But now, let's move on from that, because we are done with the new Sun discussion, and take care of the usual ending business with the new album releases for the week of November 2nd, 2018. Starting at the top, we have a new album from metal act Arsis with Visitant. We have the much-anticipated new album from The Ocean with Part 1 of Phanerozoic, Paleozoic. We got a new solo release from Migos member Takeoff with The Last Rocket. Coming out on Thursday, so, you know, the day after you're probably listening to this, the newest Action Bronson album, White Bronco. There is a new project from The Prodigy with No Tourists. A new album from Barbara Streisand called Walls. A new Christmas album from David Archuleta with Winter in the Air.
What? I heard it before, and last, but okay.
And last but certainly not least, we have the newest full-length album from Tenacious D with Post Apocalypto.
Yay!
I'll be looking forward to that. So, yeah, basically that does all that stuff. So now to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, my name is Aura of Azure, and you can find me just, you know, snarking around every so often. Baseball is over with, so I won't be doing that. But, ha-ha, Dodgers, y'all lost. I'm very happy for that.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, on Twitter at MacHobbyMedia and on my site, the Mind Hobby One at HobbyOneNetworkist.com. Recently, I did my own editorial opinion piece on the whole Country Road Funimation split up, and I was cool about it. I'm just glad it didn't go like Mary J. Blige, not gonna cry type of shit.
All right, noted. As for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Curious Cat, and Twitch as well, maybe. Sometimes, rarely, at Rob Barracuda. You can also email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, for any questions, comments, concerns, and other site inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. No audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday, while video highlights usually go up on the YouTube channel. So just, you know, search Surreal Resolution and subscribe, hit the bell tab, that whole thing. Remember to follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezo. Visit the site SurrealResolution.com, where you can listen to Decibel Boost and Podcast ONA, where they have their own big, giant buffet thing that they have to get to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two parts, over 3 hours and 40 minutes of audio. It took so much for me to get all that done, but I did it. Yay.
Much appreciated. And be sure to keep up with our written content. Hopefully sometime this week I can get a review of the new Haken album, Vector, which is quite good. Quite good indeed. What else? Be sure to jump into our Discord chat, you know, if you want to fill in the candy charts. Because we always got to have those charts lying around. You know, man, I got to keep track of this stuff. I got to be very meticulous. Very, very meticulous. And, of course, as always, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, thank you for joining us, you know, this week. We'll be back next week with the usual business and, of course, the monthly album roundup for this past October. So, happy Halloween if you're listening to us on that day. And until next time, thank you, World Series, for letting me have free Doritos tacos.
Yeah. Yes, get your free taco on Thursday and vote on Tuesday.
Ooh, boogie.